Good evening. It is so, or good morning. Sorry. I'll be here this evening, and this evening I'll say good morning, and everything will be in balance. I apologize for that. Whether it is evening or whether it is morning, it is truly a joyous occasion to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I commend you for being here, for taking this time to notice that what is important is this life is where we spend life ever after. And that all starts with coming together as His children and worshiping Him on this first day of the week. It is so good to see you, and I'm glad to be here. And I hope that you're glad to be here as well. This morning, we're going to spend time in God's Word to answer this one important question for each and every one of us here. The question is, what are we made of? That's the question that we're going to talk about this morning. And we are going to find that answer with the help of the book that has all answers, and that is the truth, God's Word. One thing that I want us to talk about this morning as we begin this process of determining what we're made of is to ask this first simple question. What is a vessel? When you think of that word, you might think of different things. Vessel is a word we might use in our current language, but we might not use it every day. When we think of a vessel, in a simple terms, a vessel is something that is used to hold or to carry or to transport something of value. Now, that's not a Webster's Dictionary definition. It doesn't come from Vines. Call it a Garrett Page definition. But simply put, that's what a vessel is. It's something that's used to carry or hold or transport something of value. You might think of something that falls into that realm or a vessel, you might not think of, but a bowl or a cup or a plate could be considered a vessel. It's something that carries something important for you. It carries food from the kitchen to the dinner table. Maybe even think about a cup that carries something that is a nourishment or something to drink, something that quenches your thirst. Plates and bowls carry food. That is important. In our human bodies, we need that in order to live. Cups carry water, and there's a certain amount of water that our body requires each and every day. These utensils and things can be considered vessels. You might even not think about it, but I think of a spoon as a vessel. Because it carries that food from the bowl or the plate to our mouths, or in my case, to the front of my shirt or my chin if I happen to miss. That's not a fault of the vessel, it's more of a fault of the user. But these are things that are important because it is vital for us in our lives and our bodies to have this nourishment. When you think of a vessel, how many of you think of pipes or tubes or ducts? In this building, for instance, or in our homes, we live in the age of where we have indoor plumbing. These pipes and ducts carry water in the house, throughout various parts of the house, and even discards the waters and the fluids that we no longer need. These pipes and ducts are considered vessels because they are moving and transporting that which is necessary or vital. Might even think about the duct system, whereas today it's bringing cool air in when it's hot outside. Yet in the winter times, it carries warm air and makes things comfortable for where we gather and where we live. All of these things can be considered vessels. When you hear that word vessel, you might think of a blood vessel or a vein that is in our body that helps transport blood and oxygen. It gives us life. It is of great importance. Vessel is something that I think is important, and we read about this term of vessel in God's Word. And we're going to take a look at a few of those this morning. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Acts and in chapter 9, where here we'll see an example of the use of this term, vessel. The words of Jesus are recorded in Acts chapter 9 as we read about there beginning in verse 10 about a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus and how Jesus has this interaction and this conversation by way of a vision with a man by the name of Ananias. And there in Acts and in chapter 9 we begin looking in verse 10 and the words say this, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, and to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Here we see Jesus speaks of this man known as Saul of Tarsus, the one who was known throughout the land to be a persecutor of the followers of Jesus. Yet Jesus says, "Go," and says, "This man, you will find him praying. Ananias, you are to go and be with him." Why? Because Jesus says, "For he is a chosen vessel of mine." This man, Saul, is to be one to hold, carry, and transport something of great value. What he's talking of is the good news, the message of the gospel, which is from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says of Paul that he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name. Going back to when we first talked about that word vessel, some of you may thought, when you think of vessel, you might think of a sailing vessel, something that is used to transport goods, services, people from one point to another. You might think of our United States naval fleet today. Not many, I would say, to be sailing vessels, possibly nuclear vessels now, but naval vessels nonetheless, who have an important mission to carry out and transport those things that are their cargo. On many of these vessels, as you can see an example of our United States Navy, bear a name. It might be the name of a president. It might be the name of a fallen soldier. It might be the name of a state which makes up these United States. These vessels hold and carry the name of its master. Here we see Saul designated to be a vessel of the Lord, and that he bears the name of his master. Jesus says, "Bearing my name," the name of the Christ. It is a very important role to play, this of a vessel, whether it be in our body or whether it be ourselves as vessels doing the work of the Lord. We all carry a name. Whose name do you carry? Who are you a vessel working for? Let's take a look at what later in this life this man, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, turns into. He's renamed, and we commonly refer to him as the Apostle Paul. And the New Testament is filled with writings and letters that Paul has written, and we have benefit from them. And this morning we're going to benefit from one that he wrote to a young preacher named Timothy. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, this second letter that Paul writes to this young preacher. And in chapter 2, we're going to see in verses 20 through 23 that Paul uses this example of a vessel and how important that is for us Christians. 2 Timothy in chapter 2, starting in verse 20. It says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Paul mentions here in verse 20 about a great house. Paul's talking of the church. He's talking about the collective of now here on earth, the kingdom of God, that which we are, as Christians, a part of. We make up the great house. We make up the church, the kingdom, as it's here on earth. But in this great house, Paul says, there are two types of vessels. There are vessels that are made of gold and silver, There are vessels made of wood and clay. Within the church, some vessels are for honor, but some are for dishonor. He uses this example of the gold and the silver vessel, of how it is one that is to be noted as for honor. It's precious. It's strong. It's refined. It's purified of the finest materials that can be found. Yet there is also this vessel of wood and clay. This is noted as the vessel of dishonor. It's one that is common. It's one that's fragile. It's tainted. It's made up of things of the world. As Christians, we are to consider ourselves to be vessels of gold and silver, to be vessels of honor, doing the part and the work of the Lord. If we are to find ourselves to be vessels of honor or dishonor, what we're faced with is the fact that we may not stay that way until tomorrow. Today we may find ourselves in one of these two categories, yet it does not stay that way for the remainder of our life. If we are a vessel of honor today, the things we do tomorrow may consider us to be dishonorable in the eyes of God. And on the flip side, if we are at a place in our life right now where we understand and we recognize that we are truly doing those things that are dishonorable for God, shall we be given the opportunity, as we have today, we can then make the change to put off those latter things of dishonor and be an honorable vessel for God. The choice is ours. He has given us that choice. One does not note our eternity. It is in our hands. It says there in verse 21, whoever cleanses himself of the dishonorable things can be an honorable vessel. He says honorable vessel to be sanctified and useful. What does it mean to be sanctified? That's not a word that we might use in our everyday language. It's one we sang of just a moment ago, as Brother Ron led us in that hymn. How we are to be sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart, to be made holy, to be consecrated, to be purified. That's what it means to be sanctified. And as Christians, we are sanctified when we put Christ on in baptism. We are then clothed with white garment. We are then washed clean of sin and separated from those things which are harmful to our eternal life. We are made sanctified at that point. But does that mean that we are done? Does that mean that for the rest of the days that we walk upon this earth, no matter what we do or no matter what we say, we are sanctified and made clean? No, that does not mean that. That is not the way we have to present ourselves. There is no such thing as a once saved, always saved mentality, though that is taught in many places, even in the world today. It is our job to make sure that we work to keep ourselves sanctified. By default, we are not kept holy by what everything is around us. It is our job to remain sanctified vessels, honorable for God. We must know and we must learn how to keep ourselves pure, to keep ourselves holy, to keep ourselves separated from the things of the world that invite sin into our lives. Hold your fingers there in 2 Timothy and let's turn back to another letter that Paul wrote that we have record of in our New Testament. And that's the first letter to the Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians and in chapter 4, Paul spends a great deal of time giving instruction to this brethren about the importance of growth, about strengthening your faith. And just as Paul wrote to the brethren in Thessalonica, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are given that same command, that we are to grow and to remain sanctified. There in 1 Thessalonians and in chapter 4, Paul writes to them beginning in verse 1 by saying, "Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, not that no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forwarded you or forewarned you and testified. Here Paul also writes again that it is our responsibility that each and every one of them, as well as each and every one of us as Christians today, should know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor, to keep ourselves pure, purified, and holy. It's our responsibility. It falls upon us. We saw here that Paul mentions this in these two letters. And that would have been enough to say if Paul thought adamant enough to preach this word to the brethren, then we follow that as well. This was a letter written to a specific group of brethren that are struggling with certain things. 2 Timothy was a letter that was written specifically from Paul to Timothy for courage and edification and for strength to help instruct him the things to do. But don't think of this as something that was written from one person to another. Folks, this was written, the inspired Word of God that was written from Christ to us. It's just as important to us today as it was to them. We are to be held accountable for the sanctification of ourselves, to keep ourselves holy and pure. Jesus uses this term, sanctification, as He prays to His Father just shortly before He was arrested and before He was tried and before He was crucified and hung upon the cross. In John's Gospel account, there in chapter 17, we can read of these prayers where Jesus prays to His Father about what He is about to endure. He also takes a few moments to pray for His disciples. And there in John and in 17, I'd like to share a few words with you. Words of the Christ. There in John 17, He says in verse 15, I do not pray that you, His Father, God in heaven, should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. We can read from these words that we are sanctified by the Father, by His truth, by His Word. These are the things that we must remember day in and day out. That the Master sanctifies His people, His vessels, to do His work. We are to be sanctified and honorable and useful for our Master. We're speaking of, as Christians, God the Father. In verse 21 there, back in 2 Timothy and in chapter 2 where we read earlier, he talks about that if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, he can be made a vessel for honor, but that he is to be sanctified and to be useful to the Master. If we are not doing the work of our Master, if we are not being proper vessels to hold, transport, and carry that which is most important to Him, to everyone we meet, how can we tell, or how can we stand firm and say that we are doing the will of the Father, the will of our Master? In that instance, we cannot. We must be about that work. We must be prepared for every good work, as Paul writes there at the end of verse 21. When we look at these passages, we see how we are to be vessels, that we are to be workers, vessels of our Master, that we're to keep ourselves separated from the things of the world, to be made holy, to be set apart and to be pure. This is the life of a Christian. After noting this aspect. How do we then determine what we are made of? We as vessels are either made of gold and silver or made of wood and clay. We are either made of those things that are honorable before God or dishonorable for God. We know it's important to be that vessel of gold and silver, to be sanctified and right in the eyes of the Lord. We know that. But how do we determine where we are today? We do that by going to that which sanctifies us, the truth, to God's Word. We compare ourselves to what we learn in these pages to determine whether we are vessels of the Lord or vessels of our own means. Paul writes there in verses 22 and 23, still in that second chapter of 2 Timothy, those things which the vessels of honor, the gold and silver vessels, do. He says there in verse 22, those vessels flee also from youthful lusts, from desires, that they go on and that they pursue righteousness. They pursue faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord and out of a pure heart. And verse 23 says, also those sanctified vessels avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Here Paul gives us how we can determine whether we are being an honorable vessel or a dishonorable vessel for God. He gives Timothy a very similar insight a couple of pages back in my Bible to the first letter to Timothy. And in 1 Timothy in chapter 6, he writes to Timothy a few verses that say a very similar note. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 begins by saying, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through many sorrows. But you, O man of God, you Christians, flee these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and had confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." We see here by looking at these two groups of verses that Paul writes, the way to determine whether or not we are vessels of honor or dishonor. Here we can determine what we are made of. A Christian flees youthful lusts and desires. They flee from foolishness and ignorant disputes. They flee from the desires of riches and greediness and the love of money. That's what the vessels of dishonor cling to. The Christian, the sanctified vessel, pursues righteousness and faith and love and peace, godliness and patience and gentleness in every aspect of their life, day in and day out. Those who are sanctified vessels of the Lord are made of the gold and the silver, and they put on certain qualities. Qualities that we read about here in these two letters that Paul writes to Timothy. Qualities and characteristics that you may refer back to Matthew and in chapter 5, where you can read from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches a great multitude. And there at the beginning of chapter 5 in Matthew, we have what we consider oftentimes to be a list of the Beatitudes. Those are things which a sanctified vessel, those who are honorable for the Lord, carry on. They are poor in spirit. They do mourn. They are meek and they are gentle. They hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. They show mercy, for mercy has been shown to them. They are pure in heart and they are peacemakers among the people. All of us here this morning, and all of those listening to this in the days to come, each and every one of us fall into one of these two categories. We are either a vessel of gold and silver, or we are a vessel of wood and clay. We are either honorable for God or dishonorable
for God? Which vessel are you? Are you made of gold and silver? That which is purified? That which is honorable? Or are you here today determining in your mind and in your heart that your vessel is not pure and that you're bringing dishonor to God? As we taught in the Bible, was taught in the Bible study this morning, there's a day that will come, and it's a day of judgment when we all stand before the Lord. And there, He will determine whether we are vessels of honor or dishonor. But today, it is our job to determine for ourselves. The resurrection will be composed of the just and the unjust, as we talked about this morning. All will stand in judgment of God. He will make the final determination of whether we are honorable or dishonorable for Him. If you find yourself today looking through these passages and determining that the things that you have done in this life have separated you from God and brought dishonor to Him, I beg you, correct that this moment. As Christians, we are bound to be honorable for our Master, to be honorable for Him, and to be about His work. If this morning you find yourself transformed back to that of the common nature of the world, to be a vessel of wood or clay, make the determination in your mind and in your heart this morning to put away those latter things and to become a righteous, sanctified vessel of the Lord again. If you've never had the opportunity or never taken advantage of the opportunity to put Christ on in baptism, to be sanctified and washed clean of your sins, you have that opportunity this morning as well. We have no promise of tomorrow. Today is the Lord's day. Today can be your day to be a sanctified vessel of His. If you have a need at this time, I invite you to come and take care of that need as we stand and we sing this song of invitation.